Thank the Lord for His goodness and His blessings. Again, I ask that you pray for the message today. If you would like to read with me, I want to begin my scripture reading from the 119th Psalm. And I want to begin reading with verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my foot from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'd like to conclude my reading there with verse 105. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I want to bring before you today a message. I want to use the title, God's Ever-Abiding Word. There are a lot of ways that a lot of different titles. It could be God's Everlasting Word, God's Eternal Word. I thought about God's Ever-Abiding Word in view of how that God's Word does abide with us and lead us and direct us from day to day. God's Word abides with us and in us. I don't know if I have in my life, I don't have any way to compare it or any way to gauge this. I don't know if I have had the excitement in my life that David had in his life. When I read the things that David said, I'm inclined to believe that I haven't had. But I do know one thing, that his word to me has been the same thing that it was to David. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And for several years now, I have loved the study and the meditation of God's Word. David here in these verses also spoke of the understanding that we get from it. The knowledge. And God's Word has taught me things, more valuable things than anything else has ever taught me. God's Word has taught me more about life than any book ever taught me. God's Word has shown to me in my life the things that are of the greatest importance. A lot of times, I have studied God's Word and begin to meditate upon it and not even be able to sleep. Because when I would lay down on my bed and think about the things that I had read in God's Word, I would begin to get happy. My soul would begin to rejoice. And my sleep would leave me and evade me because I just couldn't stop thinking about God's Word. I have trouble sleeping, it seems, a lot of times because I have trouble shutting down, shutting my mind down. I don't know. I'm inclined to believe that probably a lot of you do the same thing. Get things on your mind and you lay down and you can't rest because, you know, it's just rolling over in your mind and you can't seem to shut it down. And sometimes that drives me crazy. Sometimes that just frustrates me, depending on what, because sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes it's things that are really not of great importance that we have on our mind anyway that's causing that to happen. But I have rejoiced in those times when I wouldn't be able to shut my mind down and sleep because God's precious Word was just flooding my thoughts and my heart. I love God's Word. I wish I knew more about it, don't you? I wish I could. I know that there are depths in here that man hasn't yet begun to reach. There are great mysteries, I'm convinced, that lie within the Word of God that we've not yet begun to uncover. I'm convinced to believe that through all the years that it has been preached, that there are many sermons that still lie within the bounds of these words that have not yet been preached. Man is continually and should be continually searching God's Word for the great mysteries that lie within it. But it's like nothing else. Paul spoke to Timothy concerning God's Word, and he said, "Thou hast known from your youth, you have known the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. We have heard and read in God's great Word about the things that God did in order for you and I to be able to be saved." Paul told Timothy, the Scriptures have taught you those things. There are many things that you can do with the Word of God. There are many things that you hear today that hear the message will be able to do with it. Among those things, you know, are you can ignore it. When the preacher stands up to preach or the teacher stands up to teach or whatever that it is, you can ignore it. You could sleep through it. I mean, you could fall asleep and you could sleep through the sermon and miss it. You could listen to God's word and you could choose to reject it. God made us in such a way that he gave us the ability to choose, didn't he? You can listen to God's word and you can choose to reject it. You can choose to not believe it. You can listen to God's word and you might listen to the preacher, when he's preaching hard against sin or something of that nature, one of those rebuking sermons that's delivered. You can listen to the preacher preach and you can say, well, I wonder who he's preaching to. You can take it, when it lands on your shoulder, you can throw it over your shoulder onto somebody else. There's a lot of things you can do with the Word of God. You can believe it and trust it and be blessed. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing that you can't do. You cannot destroy it. You cannot destroy it. No matter what man does, we cannot and we will never destroy God's holy word. If I preach something today that is true, and the scriptures tell us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we might rightfully divide the word of truth. But if I preach something today before you that is according to the truth, and nobody in the whole congregation believes it, it will still be the truth. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And I'm convinced that we ought to love God's word more than what we do. I think sometimes, and I didn't really intend to say this, but I'll just follow the Lord because I'm going to answer to him for this. I believe sometimes that we have a tendency to want to pick and choose things in God's word. We can get happy and we can be boisterous and we can let the amens flow when the preacher is preaching about the joys of heaven or something that makes us feel good. But it seems like when God's word begins to step on our toes, when God's word begins to rebuke us, when the message becomes hard, it seems like that, well, we'd rather not hear that. But the Bible teaches me that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by God's inspiration. There is no scripture that is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word of God is divinely inspired. There is no novel that you can say that about. There is no biography that you can say that about. But God's word is divinely inspired. Men were merely the scribes that penned it down, but I want you to know and be assured that the Holy Spirit of God authored it. He is the author of God's word. He inspired it. He moved upon the hearts of those holy men. And I'll tell you what, when something from God's word reveals unto us the wickedness of our ways, when the word of God shows us things in our life that need to be corrected, church, don't ever forget this. If we will heed the truth, if we will allow the word of truth to do its work in our lives and in our hearts, it will benefit us. It is profitable. All of it is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Profitable. The Bible tells me that God's word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that God's word is quick. Now, that doesn't mean fast, it means alive. God's word is quick, it is alive, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God gave to us his living word. It is alive and it is powerful. In their power, in the word of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But the power is not in the written word. The power in God's word is the Holy Ghost power that empowers the truth. He will bear witness to the truth. Let me say this. Regardless of what people do with the word of God, regardless of what you and I do with the word of God, regardless of whether we choose to believe it or choose to reject it or choose to throw it away or whatever that we do with it. Friends, if it's the truth, I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit will do with it. He will bear witness to the truth of God's word. He will stand behind God's word and endorse and empower the word of God. But it's never going to fade. The word of God that David rejoiced in, the word of God that David thousands of years ago in his day, the word of God that he said it was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path, is the same word of God that we have access to today. We have access to more writings than what David had, because there were things in his day that were written under inspiration that had not yet been written. There were things that God inspired, writings that God inspired to be written after the days of David and after his life. So we have more writings than what he had in his day. But essentially, it is the same word that we have today that David had in his day. God inspired his word, and it was written many times. It was written on different types of material. It was written on skins. It was written on wood. It was written on many different kinds of material. You know what? I said a moment ago that one thing that man can never do is destroy the word of God. And that's true. It will never be destroyed, but they have tried, haven't they? I mean, men have made the attempt. They have thought foolishly that they could destroy the word of God. It has been attempted in different ways. One of those ways through the dark ages where there were times when they tried to burn the word of God. Tried to burn it up. I believe it was Tyndale's first, when he first interpreted the Bible into English, the scriptures into English. In about 1526, the Bishop of London tried to just burn it. He burned it. Tried to get rid of it. Tried to get rid of it in that language. And There have been many attempts. They have held book burnings, and there have been many attempts throughout the ages to try to destroy the Word of God. I'll tell you what, friends, I believe there's a lot of people right here in our country today, this country that was founded upon God's Word, that was founded upon God's principles, that once stood as that type of nation. I believe there are people right here in America today that would like to just get rid of God's Word, but they're never going to find any way to do that. It doesn't make any difference what they do. It doesn't make any difference how hard they try or what method that they use. God's Word is going to stand forever. You know, I'll tell you one thing. The fires that they lit trying to burn, the fires that they lit burning the Bibles and trying to burn God's Word, I guarantee you they were not sufficient. Because when God sets this whole world on fire one of these days, it's still not going to burn it up. I mean, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Brother Wheat quoted from Isaiah 40 this morning, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. And it will. When you and I have long since left this world, and aren't you thankful for that? If God allows time to go on, when those of us that are here have long since left this world, and perhaps our great, great, great grandchildren are living here, I'm thankful to know that they're still going to have access to God's Word just the way that you and I have had access to God's Word. Because, you know, we worry a lot of times about different translations of God's Word. Well, listen, there are some translations that I don't care for. There are some of them that I think have left out some very important things in their translation. But I'll tell you something else that we don't have to worry about. Man will never destroy God's Word through a translation. It'll never happen. God has not only inspired His Word, God has not only empowered His Word, but God has preserved His Word. He has preserved it. God has seen to the writing of it. He authored the writing of it. God has seen to the distribution of it. God has overseen that. It has gone out, into the world, and people have known it, and people have heard it for many, many years now. And the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, is still being declared in the world today. And somewhere, however long that it may be, when that moment comes, when the Lord splits the skies and comes back to receive His own and to bring the final destruction upon this world, there's going to be somebody somewhere preaching the Word of God. It has been preached and it will be preached until the end comes. And when this world, as I said, when this world is destroyed, when it's on fire, God's Word will still abide. It will still abide. I want to share with you a verse of Scripture from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, that tells us what God's Word is like. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You know, when I think about that, and I know there's a lot of different thoughts that could come from that verse of Scripture, but when I think about that, and when I thought about that again in my studies of this, I thought about how that I'm sure that many of us In our lifetime, we have seen people that had hardened themselves against God to the point that we wondered what it was going to take to get through to them. What is it going to take to reach this person? They seem to be so hard against God. But friends, listen, I'll tell you the very best thing that the church can do is just keep pounding on the rock. Just keep beating on the rock. Just keep preaching the word. We don't know when that rock might break. Only God knows that. But Jeremiah said that God's word is like a fire and it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And today I came here by the leadership of God and by the help of God to take that spiritual hammer and just pound a little bit more up on the rock. And I ask you to pray today that this will be the day that God will break it. Just keep swinging the hammer. That's what we need to do. We need to keep preaching the truth. We need to keep yielding that sharp two-edged sword that is alive and that is powerful. It's sharper than any of men's swords, isn't it? I heard a man one time, he said, he was talking. He was talking about his pastor. I don't know what kind of assembly he went to, but he was talking about his pastor. He said, "Oh, we got such a good pastor." He said, "That guy's such a good speaker." He said he got up at church a week or so back, and he said he had all of us crying, quoting Shakespeare. I thought, Lord, have mercy. God didn't send me here today to tell you poetry. He didn't send me here today to quote Shakespeare before you. God sent me here today with a burdened heart to talk to you about the power of God's holy word. Friends, there's power in it. There's power in it that there is that's not in anything else. There are things about God's word that cannot be said about anything else. I don't care who wrote it. I don't care how brilliantly it was written. It will never match the word of God. The greatest things that I've ever heard in my life, the greatest accounts of anything that I have ever heard in my life, the greatest documentation. I love to read history. I'm a history buff. I love to read history. But the greatest documentation that I've ever looked at in my life is right here in this old book. There's nothing like the Word of God. I've told the church before, I'm not real fond of commentaries. I don't read very many of them. I look at them from time to time under certain situations. I'd rather spend my time here in God's holy word. I'm glad he gave it to us, aren't you? What would we do without it? I mean, God gave us, when he gave us his word, he gave us a perfect set of heavenly instructions. I'll tell you what, listen, whatever that it is in your life, whatever situation that you have in your life, when you need the answer, if you will look to God and look to his word, God has the answer for you. And if you will take the time to search for it, I'll guarantee you that the answers are right here. They're right here. They're right here. You know, when the Lord gave us the scriptures, and I'm thankful for those that have written manuals. I'm thankful for Brother Pendleton when he wrote his manual, and Brother Hiscox and others that wrote manuals and things to help us. But I'm also persuaded that right here in the Word of God, He gave the church everything that she needed in order to function. And those things that were written, if they never had been written, the church did just fine before they were written. And even though they have helped in ways, if they had never been written, we always had exactly what we needed to function as the Lord's church. This is all that He gave us, His Word, for the written instruction. His Word is all that He gave us. That's all that He inspired. That's all that He gave to us. And what great knowledge can be obtained. I encourage everybody, every child of God ought to study the Word of God. You ought to take it and read it as the precious resource that it truly is. There are things in here that I read from time to time that just bless my soul to no end. No wonder King David said the things about it that he did. No wonder he expressed the thoughts that he did when he said, God's word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. The things that we take, that we hide in our heart, that we can recall by the help of the Holy Spirit in any situation that helps us along the way, that when things get dark, that Word of God just begins to shine and lights the path before us, and we know what's right, and we know what to do, and we know how to handle it and what direction it's pointing us in. Thank God for His blessed Word. I'm thankful for what it's done to me in my life. You know what? There have been times in my life when the Word of God made me feel horrible. I mean, there were times when I went to God's house and the preacher preached the Word of God and I wanted to find a hole somewhere to crawl into. I wanted to hide under the bench. There were some times I just got up and left because I just couldn't stand it. I mean, there were times when God's Word made me feel miserable. But let me tell you this, if God is doing that to you through His Word, He's doing it to help you. When it convicts you, when it shows you, when God shows you through His holy word that things are not right, He's doing it that He might help you come to Him, that it might be made right. The Holy Spirit doesn't only reprove us of sin, He also reproves us of righteousness and of judgment. God doesn't only show us what's wrong, He shows us the way to make it right, doesn't He? He leads us and guides us and shows us how it can be made right. Thank God for His Word. I love it. I love to meditate upon the Word of the Lord. I love to hear it. I love to read it. I love to try to preach it. I'm thankful that we have it. Thankful that it's alive and that it does for us what it does. I'm thankful for your attention. God's abiding word, it will live forever. One day when God's people live in heaven, we'll still live in the presence of His holy word. It will never be destroyed. Somebody, I believe, this morning I don't know if it was Brother Wee, maybe it was, but somebody made reference to the physical book. No, we're not taking our Bibles to heaven. But God's Word will sure be alive there, won't it? It certainly will. Thank you for hearing me today. I do appreciate your attention. And